Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Notice that the word strange shows up twice in that verse. So if you're one that underlines or circles words or highlights your Bible, do something with that word strange, because it shows up twice. What the Lord is saying here in his word is that we have to view trials correctly. Now, this is a series that the Lord put on my heart some time ago that's going to deal with having faith in the fire, having faith in the trial. You're going through something. Maybe you've been going through something for months or years, and you're wondering, what is this all about? Well, what I hope today does is that it gives you some perspective and changes the way you view the trial. And no matter who's authoring what you're going through, because the enemy can author a plan in your life and God still use it. Amen. You might say, why is God doing this to me? Well, it may not be the Lord that has done it. If the will of man has chosen to persecute you and to attack you and to do you wrong, God didn't author that individual wronging you, but he can take that wrong and make it right, and he can take that wrong and do a work for your life that is good. Romans 8:28 gives us a promise that all things will work for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So if I could just change the way I'm viewing the trial and say, Lord, I know you didn't author this. I know this was not your plan, but here it is and I'm facing it, but I believe that you are El Elyon, that you are the Most High God, and that you are bigger than the enemy, and I believe that you can take even what the enemy is up to and turn it for good in my life. I'm telling you that if we can change the way we view a trial, that trial can be short-lived, and or we get out of that trial what we need to get out of that trial, that God is glorified and his purpose for us is fulfilled. So what today is going to be about, matter of fact, not just today, the next few weeks, is we're going to look at the word, and I'm going to show you five things based on the word, not five things that I just came up with or read in a book, five things based on the word that could explain your trial or would definitely help you view your trial differently. So notice here again the foundational verse, 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not what? Strange concerning the fiery trial. Not just a trial, a fiery trial. So when we talk about faith in the fire, we're talking about this thing is intense. I'm in the heat of a situation, the fiery trial, which is to try you. He said, don't think that strange that you're going through a trial. And I'm not trying to be insensitive, and I'm not trying to say, everybody's going, because you don't want to hear that. You don't want to confide in somebody and say, pray with me, I'm really going through it. And then they say back, welcome to the club, everybody. And that's not what you want to hear when you confide in somebody. And some of y'all came in here hurting and broken, and you want a word that's going to heal you, and I'm saying, well, everybody's going through something. You're like a little insensitive preacher, send him back where he came from. Him and his purple shirt. So he says, if you're going through a trial, don't think it's strange. It's not uncommon. But yet that's what has so many people out of the word of God, out of prayer, out of the will of God, out of church. Why? I'm going through something. It should not be strange that you're going through something. Because you're going through something doesn't mean you need to move out of Shreveport. Just because you're going through something don't mean you need to leave this church. Just because you're going through something don't mean you're supposed to divorce your husband. Just because you're going through something don't mean you need to quit your job. There are things you need to learn in this trial that first of all, it's not uncommon. See, in life, you are ultimately going to have the conviction of being a victim or a victor, and so many times we lean toward that victim mindset, and the victim always exaggerates what they're going through. They don't just have a headache, their head is killing them. They're not just having a bad week. This has been the worst week of my life. Now, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about that's what we say. I'm having a wonderful week. And it's just, of course, it is just Sunday, but I will have a wonderful week. He said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some what? Strange thing happened unto you. Now, most of us would get down because we're going through a trial, but verse 13 says, but rejoice, but rejoice, but rejoice, but rejoice. Say that out loud. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, and we're going to deal with that toward the end of this series, what it means for the glory of God to reveal in a trial. Many people want the crown of the kingdom without the cross. And there is no crown without a cross. And so he's saying, change the way you view the trial. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you five things. I got slides and everything. And that's odd for me to have numbers and slides. This is totally different. But I got to get this thing over to you, because over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the five things that I'm getting ready to show you. Originally, I was just going to get in this pulpit and do them one at a time until we'd covered them all. But I was concerned that there were some of you that only come to church once a month. But I wanted to make sure that everybody got this, because I feel like if you don't get these five things that you can use to view your trial, you'll never understand the purpose of the trial. Therefore, you're prolonged in it and you don't glean what God's called you to glean from it. So let me give you five things that explain a trial and help us change the way we view a trial. Number one, persecution. Persecution. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Persecution. So write that down in your notes. Persecution. Persecution. Number one. If you are going to live for God, you will be persecuted. That's not what folk want to go to church to hear. Folk go to church, they want to hear coochie coochie coo messages. Make you feel good. You ain't gonna ever go through nothing. You know, I'm the head, not the tail. I know, but sometimes you got to be the tail to know you are the head. How do you know you're the head if you ain't never been the tail? Second Timothy chapter number 3. Let me show you something here in verse number 12. So number one, persecution. Church, as believers, we're going to be persecuted. As believers, we are going to be persecuted. You cannot live to advance the kingdom and not face persecution. If you're not sensing persecution, you're not doing nothing. If you're not attempting to get to the place that God has called you to live in, if you don't wake up every day with the intentional mindset of, Lord, what is your plan for me? What is your will for me? What is your purpose for me? And then you move toward that position, then you don't have to worry about opposition. But if you wake up every day saying, Lord, I want to be who you called me to be as a father. I want to be who you called me to be as a husband. I want to be who you called me to be as a wife, as a believer, as a teacher, as an administrator, as whatever it is. Lord, I want to fulfill your purpose in my life. I want to take that position. I want you to know the enemy's not going to just sit back and concede that. The attack that we face in taking the position God's called us to take 7 days a week, every day on the job, in life, the position as a believer that God has called you to take as a mama, as a daddy, as a believer, it's going to always be faced with an opposing force. And opposition, put this in your notes, please. Opposition is opposed position. Opposition is opposed position. Say that out loud. Opposition is opposed position. So whatever place God's called you to take, the enemy opposes that. And so I can't just think that I'm going to be who God called me to be as a mom, as a dad, as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, as a believer, as a teacher, as whatever, and there not be some persecution, because the enemy's going to always oppose that place that God has called you to be, that position that God has called you to fill. Watch this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you're there, say amen. Verse number 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, read the rest, So if you're going to live godly, you will suffer persecution. Years ago, I was having a lot of health issues I was facing. I was having chronic sinus infections, just chronically. I mean, like every 4 to 6 weeks, I'd pick up a sinus. And I was just really going through it. And it's hard to minister the word when you got drainage going on, your throat was raw and glands swollen. And man, I was just going through it. And I went and saw my dear friend, Dr. Mack, and I'm in his office. And he walked in and he said, Brother Pastor, that's what he calls me, Brother Pastor. I never forget where he got that from, but that's where he calls me, Brother Pastor. He said, Brother Pastor, if you're going to tote the ball, you're going to get hit. And I said, thank you for the encouragement. He said, don't worry, we can write a prescription for this, and I'm just going to medicate you until your faith catch up. I said, all right, dude. But it's true. If you're going to tote the ball, you're going to get hit. Tell your neighbor that. If you're going to tote the ball, you're going to get hit. You can't live for God in this wicked world and the enemy not oppose you. You can't live for God in this evil world and the enemy not rise up. There's somebody on your job that needs the Jesus in you. There's somebody in your life that needs that word that's in you. And all this persecution is to keep you silent. He said, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's only going to get worse. Deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He's saying, hey, no matter what's going on with the world, you got to continue in what you have learned from the word. But see, persecution, according to Jesus, rises against us because of the word of God. In Matthew 13, 21, Jesus said this. He said that when we have heard the word, but the word has yet to root in our lives, we endure for a while. But listen to what else he says here in Matthew 13, 21. He said, when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. What this is saying is that many people hear the word and then the enemy brings persecution because of the word that they have heard, the word that they've been called to live out on, and they get offended by the persecution and never live out the word. Why? Because they're not able to view the trial biblically. See, if I get offended at God because I'm going through something, then that means I thought God was supposed to prevent that. Listen, if I get offended at God because I'm going through something, then my thought must be, God, you should never have allowed that. See, all offense is when you get offended, all offense is an unmet expectation. If you are here seated right now next to your spouse and there's a little bit of offense there, I guarantee you there's an expectation that was not met. You expected something from her you didn't get. You expected something from him you didn't get. Whether he promised it or not, expectations that go unmet lead to offense. And the tighter the relationship, the more vulnerable you are to offense. And so offense is based on unmet expectation. And so if you just expect God to give you a trial-free life because maybe some preacher lied to you and told you that if you would join the church, the blessing of the Lord would be on your life, on your mind, on your body, on your spirit, on your finances, and you'd never have any trial, and you'd never have any trouble, and you'd never have any persecution, and none of these things would ever happen, and then it happened. Now all of a sudden you're offended at God. You're out of church, you're out of prayer, you're out of the word. But I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm here to tell you that if you're gonna live for the Lord, if you're gonna live for this word, there will be opposition because the God of this world is in opposition to the God in you. And the system of this world is in opposition to the system of faith that God has called you and I to live by. There's going to be resistance. Now, thank you for the four that clapped. Hallelujah. Now watch verse number 14. He said, but continue. That's what the enemy wants to get you to do. He wants to get you to discontinue. Acts 14:22 says that we should continue in the faith and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It's not uncommon. It's not strange. God's not picking on you. God has not forgotten you. I'm going to show you in this series through his word, not because I have the answers, because I don't, but his word does, that you can be encouraged in the midst of your hardship, that if you could just change the way you're viewing this thing, I'm telling you, God will bring you out and you will be better for it. I am a living witness. I have seen it in my own life. It is true in this word, and I'm going to show you step by step exactly how to view the trial, and then we're going to spend some time saying, okay, how do I respond to the trial? Now, let me give you these five things before I mess around and not do it. That's why we did the slides. I had to make sure that I got it. So right now, your trial could be the result of persecution. Number two, and this one's so important. Trials can be based on what you've been planting. Trials can be based on what you've been planting. So what's the first one up there? Is it good seed or bad seed? Okay, good seed, all right. Started with a good, better, all right. We'll make that first, good. Good seed. Now, that might shock you. Why would I be persecuted for good seed? How many times have you heard folks say, well, you know what? I got in church, even paid my tithes. And you know what? This doesn't happen, and this doesn't happen, and this doesn't happen. I thought for sure if I started living for the Lord, I wouldn't have all these problems. No, the enemy is attacking that word you've been hearing. Just to see whether or not you really believe it. And so Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, Jesus gives this parable. And he said, when they have heard the word, Satan cometh immediately. So when you hear the word, the enemy's going to show up and see, can he get you to move off that word? Did you really receive that word? Do you really have that word? Let me see if you really have that word. Let me attack you in the area of what you just heard. So when the word of God is poured into my life, the enemy is going to challenge that word. Will you pass the test? All right, let's go to bad seed. Because sometimes we blame the devil for what he didn't even do. And I'm certainly not Satan's defense attorney here pleading his case today, talking about, well, Your Honor, my client, the devil didn't do it. No. I'm trying to help you see the trial correctly, because if there's bad seed that you're sowing that is leading to the trial, and you're blaming the devil and binding the devil and using the name of Jesus on the devil, but it's the bad sowing that's leading to the trial, because you're not seeing it accurately, this thing continues, because the devil's not doing this. Your bad seed is. If you lost your job because you stole from the company, don't say, well, the devil's busy. Well, I lost my job. Man, no, you just got that job. Yeah, but you know, the devil's busy. Busy, the devil, why did you lose it? Well, you know, I took some stuff I wasn't supposed to. You did that. Devil didn't, that was you. If I'm sowing bad seed, I'm going to reap bad harvest. That's what Hosea chapter 10, verses number 13 tells me. It says, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. I'm reaping what I sow. Galatians 6:9 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you blew all your money on clothes you didn't need, and then now you can't pay your mortgage, and you got a notice, you got to leave your house. Don't say the devil's busy. The devil didn't tell you to buy a $120 pair of jeans you didn't need. When you knew you had a bill to pay, you went and bought a 75-inch color television, and you hadn't even paid your rent yet. Where were you going to watch TV? See, you can't blame the enemy for what you're doing. You've got to see it as, man, this is bad seed that I've sown. I'm walking in the harvest of this. It doesn't mean that God can't get me out of it. It doesn't mean he can't even uproot bad things I've sown, because he can. But he can't until I acknowledge I did something that I need to repent of. I've done something that I need to change. I need to change this. And with God's grace, he can break you free, but not if you're pointing your finger at the devil. All right, number three. Moving right along. Purging. We'll spend the most time probably on this one. Not today, because we'll get into these later. Purging. I don't want to say this is the most important, because I don't think there is the most important. But this is a very important one. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 48, or you can just look at the scripture on the screen. That's why I don't normally use slides, because y'all get lazy and won't turn to the scripture. But go with me to Isaiah chapter number 48, and I want to share this with you, because this one is so important. I believe we'll probably spend at least 2 weeks just on this one. Because, or we'll at least spend an entire Sunday on this one, or service on this one. Trials can be used by God to, oh, please hear me. Oh my goodness, I'm sensing this. I'm sensing already how important this one is. Trials can be used by God to get things in your life that don't belong in your life out of your life. The fiery trial, the reason you use the heat, the reason the gold was melted was to purge it. Another word for purge would be to purify. So you've got people in your life that God does not want in your life. And you wouldn't honor the word where the word says don't be unequally yoked. So he's allowing the trial to shake off folk you're not supposed to have in your life. And you're wondering where this is coming from. But you've got habits in your life you need to break. And you wouldn't give heed to the word. That was God's best way of getting that out of your life, was to show you the word. You heard the word, but you ignored the word. You ignored the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You ignored good counsel. And God said, okay, I got to let you go through something to get that out of your life, because I don't want that in your life. Listen, I want you to know that there are people that may not belong in your life. There are things that may not belong in your life. There are habits that may not belong in your life. Ways that may not belong in your life that God will use a trial to get out of your life. There's a purging process that God will use the trial to accomplish. Watch this in Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 10. He said, behold, I have refined thee, purified thee, cleansed thee. I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Read that last statement out loud. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Now, we all want to be chosen. Choose me, Lord. Yes, Jesus. And God said, I'm going to tell you where I choose you. I choose you in the fire. I choose you in the furnace. If you want me to use you, you got to let me put you through something. You got to let me purge you, because I can't use you when you're contaminated. I can't use you when you're bringing all this stuff that I can't use with you. So God will use trial to get things, attitudes, worldviews, mindsets, habits. He'll use the trial to get all that out of you, so that he can use you, so that he can be glorified in your life. And many people never see the finished work because they won't stand still long enough to let God finish. They jump off the potter's wheel before he's through molding the clay. They get out of the pot that's meant to purify them because it got too hot. So they thought, well, maybe I don't belong in Shreveport. And so you move to Alexandria, and then it heated up there. And he said, well, this must not be right. So you move to Atlanta, Georgia, and then it got hot there. He said, well, this must not be right. So you move to St. Louis, Missouri, and that didn't work. And you said, well, maybe I need to be on the West Coast. So you went out to LA and it got hot there. Why? Because God is saying, you cannot escape the jurisdiction of my authority over your life. And there's something I'm wanting to do in you, but you keep jumping out of my pot. Church hopping won't change your trial. God God said, I choose you in the furnace of affliction. God will use a trial, listen, whether he authored it or not. Because God's not gonna make somebody do you wrong. But God also does not control the will of man. So it's not that God authored what I'm going through. It's that God can use what I'm going through for his good and for his glory. You say, well, I don't want the Lord to use what I'm going through. Well, you were gonna go through it anyway. Proverbs 17:3 says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts. The Lord tries the hearts. Notice what God said here in verse 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. God said, I didn't refine you by putting, by arraying you in something that would cover your heart. No, I'm refining your heart. I'm doing this thing from the inside out. It's not a cover-up.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.